From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says so love everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic from the future, I guess.
From the future.
Well, we're a new year.
Oh yeah,
it's the future.
It is the future.
Time, it is the future. Flying cars
into the future.
Flying cars, teleportation.
The year 2000.
I don't know.
24.
High collar fashion.
Yeah. Well, I do have a high collar.
You fit right in. You need to be eating some ramen at like a neon shop now.
It is the New Year's, Bob. The veil is back to being thicker than it was as we await. Well, we're in the new year as we await for the year to continue on. But happy New Year, Bob. I hope your holidays were substantial.
I would say they were okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm working on posting my thing here because we're live again on video for free for fans to go and watch.
We are right
we
now.
We are. So you guys can tune in.
I can do that.
Yeah. JedTV.com. You can go right on there, home screen, face and watch. I don't think there's a chat room there anymore. I thought there was at one point.
There wasn't. We can't have nice things, Bob.
That's fair. So no chat room, guys. Sorry about that.
Chat room gets rambunctious. Not our chat room.
Not our chat room. Yeah, yeah. So no, there's no chat, guys. I thought there was. My apologies. But you can still watch me live again. It's been a long time since we've been able to do that. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And of course, everywhere. We're basically everywhere, Bob.
Yes.
Radio, podcast,
video. You are correct. So we are live here, which is really exciting. Count, while I'm getting everything set up, how was your holidays? Did you do anything exciting?
Yeah, Bob, you know, it was nice, the holiday season for Count here. The holidays are about these days, right? It's about the being gathered around people you enjoy, the company you keep. And certainly was that for sure. I got a little sick around it, though. You know, Count Panic is not immune to the, you know, falling ill sometimes. So there was that. But other than that, Bob, it was a very good holiday, a very good solstice, Christmas, Yule, New Year's, all that good stuff together. We can't complain. How about yours?
Not too bad. Christmas Eve, I just got in from Orlando,
right.
From Holiday Mat Surrey.
Yeah.
So that was a thing. I went down there with the Queen of the Night and the Queen of the Night's mother, which would make her the
Queen of the Day. Right?
Yeah, I suppose the Queen of the Day. We'll call her that. The Queen of the Day. We were down there at Holiday Mat Surrey, and it was a really good time. Weather was decent. I got chased by an alligator. That's a real story.
How'd you manage that?
I was playing disc golf. I had a little bit of time to kill, so I went and played disc golf. First hole, threw just fine. Second hole, my disc landed right on a water bank. It was like a water trap, and I went to go get my disc. And the local's like, bro, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'm like, what do you mean? And then I hear this hissing noise, and I see this alligator head come out of the water. And I was like, oh, now I know why the local didn't
it's
want
like
me.
It's like miniature golf of real obstacles instead of, you know, fake alligators. It's the real one. Well, I mean, at least you survived that, Bob. You live to tell the tale.
Yes, so I didn't get my disc back, unfortunately, so that's a thing. No. But outside of that, it was a good time. I enjoyed Florida. Then Christmas Eve when I got home, I had to finish my Christmas shopping, which was a thrilling adventure. I went grocery shopping with my mother and spent the evening with her, which was nice. Christmas Day, spent it with my siblings, spent it with my my partner, you know, queen of the night. We got to spend some time together, which was relatively amazing. And then for New Year's, I know the counterpart for you went to a pierogi drop.
Yeah, I know Mr. Pierogi personally, and he was out there at the pierogi drop in Whiting, Indiana, where it's what exactly like it sounds like. They drop a giant pierogi from the sky each and every year for the past 8 years now, downtown Whiting, Indiana. And it's really a sight to be seen, Bob, to see this giant pierogi fall from the atmosphere, basically. But yeah, that was one way to celebrate the New Year's for sure and ring it in. And as we shift off into 2024, I can't help but notice, Bob, there's something next to you, though.
There is. There is a bag here.
There's a bag.
A little hefty bag.
Hefty.
Let's open it up.
Not like a hefty, the brand hefty. Now, this is from my friend.
From your friend, huh? Is this a pierogi? It is signed by Mr. Pierogi.
My friend, Mr. Pierogi. Yeah, yeah. He signed.
I got a pierogi Christmas ornament signed by some guy named Tony.
Well, Mr.
Who
yeah,
is Mr. Pierogi?
But look at that. Let me see if I can zoom in on that thing. Let's
yeah,
see.
Absolutely. Don't zoom in on my face.
No,
my
no,
skin's
no.
Awful.
See, I'll try to do
dry.
From this camera here. So let's see.
You want me? There we go. The wrong camera count. There we go.
No,
you
but
wanted to go that way.
It was working before.
It was working before.
There we go.
Oh, that's a Christmas tree.
This fast zooms here.
There we go. It's a cool pierogi
you
ornament.
Can see it right there.
Yeah. You can see
yeah,
it. It's kinda, real sharp.
Yeah.
Thank
it's
you,
nice.
Cal Panic. That's a. It's got some good weight to it, and
yeah.
I appreciate that it's autographed.
Yeah, it took a lot to get. I had to pay a lot for that because, you know, his autograph doesn't come cheap, and I had to nag him for a little bit. But yes, hang it proudly there, Bob. Hang it proudly. Yeah, he's celebrating. We're celebrating and the new year, Bob After Dark.
Yeah, and I rang in my new year with the Queen of the Night. We enjoyed some grapes, cheese, crackers, pizza, which was nice. Those amazing cream puffs that you get in the plastic tub. You ever have those?
The cream puffs. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about,
I know
right?
What you're talking about.
Yeah, so the little bite-sized ones, and we had a really good time. And then I made my bottled my mead that I got prepared in May. And my next two batches are fermenting now.
How about that?
Yeah.
So now, when will these be done?
3 months, it'll be ready to bottle. And then it'll age for probably another 2 months, and it'll
all
be
right.
ready to drink.
I'm ready.
It's pretty interesting. I bottled my first batch of mead. It smelled good. It tasted relatively orangey. So I only took a little droplet of a sip because it needs to age just a pinch more in the bottle now.
Yeah, there you
That's
have it.
Something weird. Yeah. But anyway, guys, if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly-ish paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite cocktail to have at New Year's Eve.
I mean, I'm a simple guy. I think Jack and Diet Coke usually. I don't think that's much different than New Year's either. I think if I get it. I know champagne's the traditional thing, right? People like drinking the champagne. But, yeah, you know, champagne on New Year's is pretty good, too. How many times besides New Year's do you get to drink champagne?
I don't.
I feel like that's.
Have you ever had a mimosa?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, I'm talking about like that's the day. People.
I know people that drink like champagne willingly throughout the year. I'm more of a beer guy these days.
Of course.
I'll enjoy a glass of whiskey on occasion.
Yeah.
It's that's a thing. But I
champagne.
Yes, a champagne. I couldn't even tell you the last. I'll have a mimosa once in a while, which is champagne and orange juice. But I couldn't tell you the last time I had champagne straight.
Not even on New Year's.
No, because I usually toast with like a beer.
Beer.
Yeah, that's usually what I do.
I mean,
I'm trying to think of when the last time. I remember the Queen of the Night showed up for our first show and we cracked open a bottle of champagne in the parking lot. Remember that?
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, but that was years ago. I couldn't tell you.
Maybe that was the last time you had champagne?
Probably. But anyway, Bob After Dark, we split the show up into two parts where we talk about the weird, spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go online scouring the internet for weird news articles involving the paranormal, the strange, the weird, the cryptid and ghost sightings, advances in science that borderline on science fiction. Those are some of the things that we talk about here. You are normally 90% of the time not prepared for this, for the news. I want to get your hashtag panics take, where you, the panic, tell me what you think of the news article.
Let me know.
Absolutely, except this one time I totally forgot I wanted you to look at this photo.
Okay.
So I'm sending it over to you now, and totally professional here on Bob After Dark, I promise you. I'm a little discombobulated today.
No, don't worry about it. It's a new year, Bob.
Yes.
You're allowed to be a little discombobulated.
I am. I'm very overtired. Okay, so I just sent it over to you so we can look at the photo together.
Let me take a look at this.
All right, so let's dive into not that news article first, so that way there you can get caught up. Let's talk about the first news article. This is written for Fox 59 by Sarah Dorian. Fox 59 is the Indianapolis Fox affiliate. So anyway, let's move on here. Burrillville, Rhode Island, where, you know, in case you guys don't know what city that is, that's where the famous Conjuring house is. We've talked about the Conjuring case on here. Perhaps you've seen the extremely popular film that came out several years ago of the same title. You've seen it. So the owner of the famed Conjuring house in Rhode Island is setting the record straight on what caused the fire in a nearby barn earlier this week. This was posted last week. So 2 weeks ago, in case you guys don't remember, because we covered it on the show, there was a fire at the Conjuring house. One of the barns on the property, not the house itself, but one of the barns on the property caught fire. Lots of speculation saying, you know, that's what happens when you buy a very possessed piece of property, right?
Yeah.
But according to the owner, that is not the case. And I quote, "Neither Bathsheba Sherman, the crooked neck lady, nor any other spirit caused this fire," Jacqueline Nunez wrote in a statement referring to the house's paranormal lore. The fire broke out inside a 2,000 square foot barn in Burnaville earlier Monday morning. So this was last Monday, and took approximately 3 hours to knock down, according to Nunez. "We are relieved that the barn is still standing," she said. "We will not know what is salvageable until advised by our structural engineers." The fire didn't affect the house, which was built in 1836 and made famous by the 2013 horror blockbuster The Conjuring. The movie is loosely, and I use that term very strongly, loosely based off the paranormal activity at the Perrin family reportedly experienced while living in the house during the 1970s. Nunez said the barn fire is likely caused by, and I quote, "improperly disposed materials spontaneously combusting inside a trash bag left in the barn. This was an accident," she explained, emphasizing that this is not intentionally set. The barn, which Nunez said was originally built in 1801, has recently been renovated. No one was injured in the fire, and the barn does not appear to be a total loss. Nunez bought the Conjuring House 2022 for $1.5 million. Hashtag panics take.
$1.5 million. That's crazy. Well, Bob, you know, there's a reason to believe, I would think, that when you buy a haunted house, it's exactly correct, that things, odd things will tend to happen there. So I'm going to chalk it up to, yeah, maybe you shouldn't just buy haunted houses like that all willy-nilly. That's just me. I know some people are into that.
Oh, I'll buy the haunted house immediately.
I feel like there's some stuff that might be, you know, that could be bad.
Absolutely. All right, let's do the second to the news story, so that way there you could get caught up to the one I sent you. This one is from NBC4, written by Ava Boldizar, B-O-L-D-I-Z-A-R. This was in Delaware, Ohio, so not Delaware the state, but Delaware, Ohio. Paranormal investigator opening horror-themed pizzeria in central Ohio. A local paranormal investigator is bringing a new pizzeria with a spooky twist to central Ohio. Restaurant owner and paranormal investigator Luis Gonzalez, alongside her fiance Zach Bracken, are opening Luigi's at 219 South Sandusky Street in Delaware. The restaurant won't be your typical pizza joint. It will feature a mural with iconic scary movie characters eating pizza along with the other horror-themed decor. Luigi's will also have pinball machines and a few horror-themed arcade games and pinball machines as well. My fiance and I, who is the owner, with the other owner, we love horror films, Gonzalez said. We always sit and eat pizza and watch horror films and just wanted to extend our personalities into the business. The restaurant will be family-friendly and not feature any overtly scary elements, Gonzalez said. It plans to play family-friendly horror films such as Nightmare Before Christmas and Disney films during the day and at night, depending on the crowd, Gonzalez said they plan to play more classic horror films. Luigi's will serve New York style pizza, which is inferior to Chicago pizza by every leap and bound. Fight me on that one, folks. Salad, pizza roll, sandwiches, pasta, fresh cut fries, wings, and alcohol. My fiance and I have been dreaming about opening this place for a long time now, Gonzalez said. So we are just really excited to have this dream to be sharing it with the Delaware community. Luigi's is now open, and it's open Sunday through Wednesday from 11 to 10, and Thursday 11 to 11, Friday and Saturday 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Hashtag panics take.
Hey, how about that? That sounds like good fun. Now, much different than the first story, which sound menacing, but this one sounds a little bit more leisurely. But that's fantastic. You got to keep that history alive there, Bob.
Yeah,
you keep the classics moving.
You ain't kidding, Colin. I'm Yeah, you ain't kidding at all. It's fantastic. I wish they would have dived a little bit more into their paranormal background in the article. And I appreciate that a paranormal investigator opened up a horror-themed restaurant. That just goes hand in hand. I always had the idea of opening up a paranormal pub and so it's themed after, you know, the paranormal and ghost actual lore, not horror movies. That's my retirement plan.
Yeah.
But you can come get a drink and drink a Bloody Mary with me while I tell you the story of Bloody Mary and or Resurrection Mary.
There you go. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. All right. So are you ready for the last article then?
Yeah, and I think I got your photo here. So let's
Excellent.
See.
So this last story comes to us from popculture.com. Photo of alleged Bigfoot and baby Sasquatch surfaces online. The photos have sparked debate online and in the Beacon, New York community. This is written by Michael Hine, again on popculture.com. An alleged Bigfoot sighting in upstate New York has social media talking, but no one can agree on whether it's authentic or not. The photo was taken in a wilderness near Beacon, New York, according to a report by the Daily Star. Viewer says it shows an adult cryptid-like Sasquatch or Bigfoot carrying a baby on its back. The first photo appeared on a Facebook page dedicated to cryptid sightings in the Beacon area. The area is regarded as a hotbed for Bigfoot activity by many people, and a blog associated with the Facebook page reads, and I quote, "I started this page in response to the numerous Bigfoot sightings in the Beacon, New York area over the past year. Photos on the page date back to 2014 and claim that it show other Bigfoot sightings, but none like the one posted this week. Mama with a newborn, they watch them off in a nearby creek after birth," one person commented under the photo. Another and I quote, "Come on, people, it's BF with several more there." BF meaning Bigfoot. "Maybe the enlarged pic will help you." And a third added, "That's a baby Bigfoot on its back." I appreciate the obvious nature of these comments, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, the post drew out some skeptics as well, including some who believe in Bigfoot, but not in the authenticity of this photo. One person wrote, "Nope, if it looks human in size and proportion, it's much more likely a human than a Bigfoot. Nothing about this picture speaks to the anatomy of anything but a human. But if a human could fit in the suit, then probably that is the answer, another joked. "Nope, looks like Quasimodo," someone quipped. Beacon is located on the Hudson River, about 90 minutes north of New York City. It's nearly 4 hours south of the state's most famous wilderness areas like Adirondack Mountains, but it is still surrounded by dense forests. Still, many skeptics question whether an intelligent biped like Bigfoot would choose to live in a relatively populated area with so many more remote areas available. With no substantial evidence of Bigfoot's existence, let alone their theoretical preferences for habitats, climate, and ecology, it's hard to make a reliable guess. Either way, the people of Beacon have definitely embraced their reputation for Bigfoot sightings with local attractions and exhibits. And if you're looking to do it yourself, it might make do some Bigfoot hunting yourself. They do claim to be a good place to be as well for vacationing. I have two opinions on this, but my opinions mean nothing before the hashtag panic steak.
Well, Bob, I'm telling you, we always wish we had a clear photo of Bigfoot, right? A clear photo of Sasquatch. This has to be, if this is a legit photo and real, the most clear picture of all time, I would say. Wouldn't you say? I got it for the folks watching on Jed TV on the video side of things. I'll put that on the screen right now. I mean, you can see it right there, clear as day. Bob, that's a very clear photo. That's a Bigfoot with a baby Bigfoot.
Yes.
Baby Sasquatch. I mean, but is this real? That's the thing. Or is this just doctored? Is this AI? Is this a phony, a fake, a fraud? To me, just looking at it, it looks real. And I'll even go closer, Bobby, if you want to see the baby.
Yeah,
in the back.
Zoom in I'll for zoom our folks watching on the Jed TV.
Yeah, there's the baby right there. See? Right there. What do you think, fake?
I want to point out that the last line of the article said Beacon is a great place to vacation.
well,
that makes me question its validity immediately.
You think people they just want to bring people to look for a Sasquatch?
Yeah, that's the best way to. I would say top five reasons to bring tourism to the local areas to create some sort of paranormal palooza.
But that photo alone is a great photo.
It's a great photo. It's less muscular than your typical Bigfoot sighting.
Yeah.
The suit's a little, I don't want to say it's too hairy because that's redundant for a Bigfoot sighting.
Yeah.
I'm going with fake.
Fake. Too clear, right?
Just that's clear. If it is, I will tell you, other than like, maybe a handful of things out there, like that video that popped up last year of like the really muscular one by the stream we showed. I want to say if this is real, this is the clearest photo of a Bigfoot I have seen in a long time.
Oh, very clear. Yeah.
And it's definitely interesting that there is an offspring. Can you zoom in on the offspring a little bit more?
Okay, let's see how much I can do here.
Yeah, of course. You're my like, there we go. We're almost there. That's the most interesting part of the photo.
Yeah.
Because if that's a baby, they've literally went out of their way to find a baby Sasquatch costume or make one. Find a baby willing to like cooperate while wearing it, because that thing looks pretty calm riding on that thing's back. Unless it's a baby doll that they strap to the suit.
Well, but I'm looking at the face too here. Is there not? It seems like it's lacking hair on the face. Now, I don't know how a baby Sasquatch.
I was going to say, are you an expert on baby Sasquatch?
But it seems like the face is a little too bare too. Like it maybe just...
It's a baby Sasquatch. Do you want it to come out looking like completely as a hair mess?
Yeah, like a hairy, hairy baby. It's interesting though. Makes you think, but that's about it.
I'm going with fake, but I could see why people would believe it's real. I have seen plenty of faked Bigfoot photos in the past, and a lot of them are very blatantly fake. That one looked really interesting. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm going to chalk it up to fake, but I could see why. How about you?
It's a little too clear. I think when it's too clear like that, there's probably a fake. It's probably a phony. A fraud.
Oh, so you are sticking with me on this one.
Yeah, because it's too clear. There's no such thing as a clear Bigfoot photo.
I suppose
it's too clear.
Folks, if you're interested in sharing your opinion with us, our phone lines are open, 219-845-1100. Now, I know our radio fans at home aren't going to be able to see this, nor future podcast fans, but I will share this on the Children of the Night Facebook page so you guys can see it for yourself and tell me what you think. I'm interested to get that photo over to Steve and maybe somebody like Jack Chavez, who's really, you know, used to seeing photos like this. I don't know how well versed Steve is in cryptid photograph as much as he is spiritual photography. But as far as Jack is concerned, that's somebody who I would really like to get an opinion from. And we haven't talked to Jack in a while, so remind me to send this over to him and
sure.
We can get an answer from him. But I just like how at the end of the article it said, go visit Beacon. It's a vacation spot. That's a great way to draw tourism, man. You know, you look at something like the Mothman Festival or, you know, the Hodag Fest or anything. Those are all based on sightings in areas and other types of creatures, and they draw people in from all over the world. Mothman Festival being the quintessential kind of paranormal festival in the world, and that draws in people from all over the country. I'd even argue probably all over the world come to the Mothman Festival, so why not make a Beacon Bigfoot Festival? Beacon Bigfoot? Double BBF.
Yeah, Beacon Bigfoot Fest.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
100%. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with it. But hi, hey, Count Panic.
Yeah.
How would you like to take a quick break here?
All right.
All right. So our live fans, stick around. We will be right back. Into our podcast fans, stick around. You're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
We're back.
Yeah.
What'd you do during break?
Bob, during break? You wouldn't believe what I did. I went on the search. I tried to get the most clear-cut photo.
Clear-cut,
he says. Sasquatch
you
could find. But much to my chagrin, it didn't work out. It really was just a gorilla. And I got bamboozled. So.
You got bamboozled?
I got bamboozled. How about you? What did you do during break?
You know, I went out and faked a couple Bigfoot sightings.
You faked a couple Bigfoot sightings?
I did. I went outside and I just started stomping on the ground with large feet imprints to go
that
scare
happens.
Some people.
Well,
that happens. That's a common thing,
and we
actually
were searching one time in Hammond.
We did go searching for a Bigfoot once.
That's still a Bigfoot.
We did go looking. That's a true story. Yeah. I have gone Sasquatching before. Yeah. We have two callers
on
here. Let's take caller number one.
We're going to go in order here.
Caller number one, you're on the air.
Is that me?
Whoever's talking, yes. Hello.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Is this Jack?
Maybe it is.
Jack, it's been forever. I was just talking about you.
Long time no.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Jack, do you have access to Messenger real quick while you're on the phone with me?
I do.
I'm going to send you over this article. Have you seen the photo or no?
Yeah, that's why I'm calling.
Oh, great. I don't even need to share it with you. Excellent. Thanks, Jack. So what's your take? Do you think it's real or not?
So here's the thing. Upstate New York, there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings there. That's prime area for Bigfoot. But I don't know about this photo, Bob.
You're calling malarkey?
Yes. I think
he's with us.
I think there's a little it's too clear, right? It's a little too clear.
You know, and then look at the hair too. The hair is just it's very costumey. It's just like kind of brushed down. It's too clean for Bigfoot.
So
Bigfoot is a mess.
So you're a little bit more versed in it than I am. Folks, I'm not afraid to admit when I'm not the expert on everything. Jack is way more versed in Bigfoot than I am. In your opinion, in your studies, do you think that? My first question, this is two parts. First question, have you ever seen a baby Sasquatch photo or know of a sighting that involves with a baby or just even an offspring of the Sasquatch? And have you ever seen one that was this clear?
Sightings, yes, but not pictures. I've never seen pictures of a baby Sasquatch. I can't even think of, on the top of my head, I can't even think of encounters with a baby Sasquatch.
This is a first.
Certainly offspring, like, you know, more toddlers, but I've never heard of a baby one.
Yes, I've seen smaller ones before, but not anything infant level, so that's interesting. It's also extremely clear and close up. You would think that
it's so clear, yeah.
Yes. I have never seen a that much up close photo of those things. And if it's a mother carrying around a child, I am willing to bet that a mother Sasquatch is not going to let you get that close to her carrying her offspring.
No, I doubt it. And also, you know, that's a very lanky looking Sasquatch. Sasquatch is usually described as muscular.
Yeah.
It's described as, you know, very, very built. With a big chest, and so yeah, no, I call phony on this one, Bob.
Thank you so much. Now, see, Jack, you read my mind. I needed that.
Yeah.
What's been going on with you, man? How have you been?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I did a lot in 2023, and I have a lot planned for 2024.
Anything you're willing to give a Bob After Dark exclusive on?
So, you know, I've been doing a lot of the ghost investigations in Illinois, and I dipped a little bit into Indiana, but now I want to go further. So that's a little bit of a plan now.
Oh, where do you got planned?
So we want to go into Iowa. We want to go into possibly Kentucky. So we want to expand a little bit there.
I like that. Good luck to you, Jack. You're a smart cookie, so I know you're going to go very far.
Bob, I wanna formally invite you and Panic if you guys would like to be guests at my Chicago Paranormal Convention.
We would love that. When's the date?
It'll be Saturday, June 8th.
Let's put it on the calendar. Put it on the calendar. Yeah. Jack, thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Absolutely, guys.
Happy New Year to you. That was a great New Year's present.
Well,
how about that?
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you guys. Bob, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, but shoot me a text. You got the digits.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Talk to you soon, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Bye, guys.
I guess we'll be at Jack's Paracon Saturday, June 8th. My first booking in 2020.
You got it. Who knew?
That was. I guess you could just call in live and ask me for your shows now, folks. That's the way to do it. We have another caller. Take it live.
Hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there, John. I was wondering if it was going to be you or somebody else on the second line.
Well, you know what? I was wondering, too. I really thought that might have been Bill because, you know, Bill usually gives us the call, too. And, Jack, I was kind of surprised because as of you, you also, you know, he hasn't called in quite a while. So I honestly thought Bill was on the line. But I want to wish you a Happy New Year, first of all.
Oh, well, you too, John. Happy New Year.
And I'm glad you made it back, you know, after that alligator incident.
I am lucky to keep my appendages. That is, the local literally said you're lucky to have a hand.
Well, it's a good thing there were some people there that kind of seen you, you know, walking towards that way. And, you know, I mean, if you're not thinking, I mean, yeah, you know, Florida alligators are probably all over the place, but... hey, at least you got something to tell about your trip, right?
Yes.
If anything else, and so what are you concocting up? That is that wine or what?
Oh, mead. It is honey wine. It's the world's oldest form of alcohol. It was one of my 2023 hobbies I wanted to pick up to, you know, start diversifying my life, and my first batch is ready to go.
Well, I like to have a shot of that when it's ready, or a glass or whatever.
Yes.
But you know, Jack, I didn't see the photo of the Bigfoot and the sibling, but you know, Jack seems like he's very knowledgeable on that. So, is this place in New York? Is this a legitimate place? Is this a well-known place, or is this something that you know, that's just propaganda of the Bigfoot sightings there, or? You know, is this actually a resort where you could?
It sounds like it's a normal city in upstate New York. And I can't even say this is upstate. If this is only like an hour, hour and a half outside the city, you know, the city proper of New York, then it's not even that really far out. I'm willing to bet there's probably people that commute into New York from that neck of the woods. So it's not too far upstate. I know proper upstate New York by like Albany, Buffalo area. There are Bigfoot sightings up in that neck of the woods. This is a little further south than where I'm aware of. I've never heard of Beacon, New York before this, But I do know who to call to see if I can get an answer for you on that. I got friends in the Hudson Valley Ghostbusters, of all things. So I'm going to reach out to them and see what they say about this.
Okay, so it is a legitimate place. So
it is a legitimate place. I just don't know anything about it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to somebody that lives in that area and find more out.
Well, there you go. I guess that'd be a good idea. So, yeah, you know, very interesting about the Bigfoot. You know, we're heavily into Bigfoot. Bigfoot fans here. So,
yes, that's partially the reason why I picked the story out, because I know you guys are such a big fan of the concept of Bigfoot.
There you go. Well, hey, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, John.
And, you know, best of luck to you and the show for the New Year.
So. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All righty. Take care.
Yes, yes. Folks, we still have time for callers. Do we have another caller?
No.
Oh, okay, wait. No, that was the... No.
I was going to say, you could be number three right now. 219-845-1100.
You could be caller number three. We have not had three... I couldn't tell you the last time we had three callers. Actually, I could. It was a few weeks ago.
Well, there you go.
I couldn't tell you the last time we had four.
In a row.
You could call in. 219-845-1100. If you're watching live, tell us what you think of the Bigfoot sighting in mid-state New
York, the Christmas tree behind Bob.
The Christmas tree. What about it?
You can tell us what you think about it.
It's a Christmas tree.
Yeah. Nothing spooky.
Oh, you wanted somebody to comment.
Yeah, like if you want to comment.
Hey, man, you've heard of the man-eating gourd. Now, have you heard of the man-eating Christmas tree?
True, yeah. Spooky.
Absolutely. Now, hey, Count.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about back and forth. We went off the rail there a pinch. We are overdue to talk a little bit about the meat and potatoes part of the episode. What is it of the week?
What is it?
That is a great question, Cal Panic. And to answer your question, we're going to have to cross the pond, as it's called by other people. We are going over to the UK. The UK, and we're going to be talking about a strange society of dwarf-like creatures known as the Redcaps. Last episode on Bob After Dark, we finished out the year talking a little bit about the, the second episode of the last of the year. We did our Christmas special where we talked about where do elves come from? And we discussed the concept of elves and, you know, where the basic form of lore is with that and how they're mischievous creatures, but they're not necessarily hostile, scary, flesh-eating creatures. But what if I told you that I found the yin to their yang? And that's what we're going to be discussing this evening, is the concept of the Redcaps.
The Redcaps.
And you might be wondering why they're called Redcaps, Count.
Why are they called Redcaps?
Because they wear a red cap.
I should have known.
Now wait till you find out why they're red.
All right.
They're wonderful. So anyway, let's dive in. I'm going to be reading an article here from Dark Tales blog about the Redcaps. And the Dark Tales blog discusses all things kind of spooky and whatnot. So the Redcap describes a type of goblin for North Huberan and Scottish Borders folklore. While many related creatures such as the Bogarts and the Kobolds have a reputation as malicious tricksters and troublemakers, at least in some stories, Redcaps are considered far more malevolent. Bloodthirsty and violent, Redcaps take their name from their practice of soaking their cloth caps in the blood of its victims.
Wow.
Ain't that something? Yeah, as with many creatures of English folklore, names for the beings mostly frequently known as Redcaps vary from place to place. Dunter is sometimes used in Northumbria, and sometimes they are called the Powry on the Scottish side of the border. These areas of Scotland, Cumbria, and Northumbria, or also known as Northumberland. That's a lot of thms, so I'm getting my tongue tied here. Close to the border between Scotland and England are littered with ruined and abandoned castles, testament to over 1,000 years of unrest between the two nations. In particular, many fortifications were constructed to protect both Scots and English from the border reavers, bandits, and mercenaries that would roam the region, raiding settlements and the farmsteads. Most tales of Redcaps identify these many ruins as their preferred lairs. Travelers unwillingly taking shelter in their homes would be ambushed and murdered, and their blood used to keep the creature's caps wet with blood. And if blood stains on its cap should ever dry, Many tales claim that the Red Cap would die, leaving them to be some sort of strange vampire creature, but instead of needing to consume the blood, they just need to paint their red hats with it. Described as short, heavy built, and resembling old men, Red Caps possess prominent teeth, red eyes, and along with long, thin fingers tipped with hooked claws. Each wears a red cap as well as heavy iron boots. Invariably, they carry a long pike or a scythe, again constructed with heavy iron, which they use to kill their victims. Travelers making the mistake of entering their lair would be ambushed with heavy stones, dropped from above, or ran through their pikes. Despite the short stature and heavy boots, they are quickly on their feet, easily able to chase down any escaping survivors. The folklorist William Henderson records that Dunters and Powry are distinct species from Red Caps, although found in the same border fortifications and ruins. Rather than attacking visitors directly, Powry would cause a strange sound like a grinding of a millstone. Hearing the noise was a potent omen of misfortune or even death, particularly if it was louder, longer than unusual. What do you think so far of the Red Cap lore?
I'd say it's very spooky so far.
Man, that's when your garden gnomes, the garden gnomes go bad, you know?
You think there would be fun-loving creatures, but yes,
something like that. So, there is a famous story of one particular Red Cap, and its name is known as Robin Red Cap.
Robin.
Scottish border noble William II de Soles was said to possess a Red Cap as a familiar. The creature known as Robin Red Cap was much feared by the people living close to his master's home in Hermitage Castle. Some versions of the story even suggest that Robin Redcap was something else entirely, a demon that granted his master significant powers. Well-versed in witchcraft, De Soles and his familiar conducted a reign of terror until locals eventually rose up to overthrow him. Rendered immune to weapons and even hanging by Robin's powers, De Soles was eventually dragged to the nearby stone circle of Ninestain Rig, where he was boiled alive in molten lead. In reality, William De Soles was imprisoned and ultimately died in Dumbarton Castle after being found guilty of treason, conspiring against King Robert the Bruce to place pretender Edward of Bailey to the throne. Paniqua, what's your take on these Red Caps?
Yeah, like I said, you would think that they, when you see them on people's lawn, the fake versions, right? Or at least we think the fake versions. They seem fun-loving and carefree. There's a much more devious side to these beings. They are beings at the end of the day, than we thought before. Something not good is going on here.
Yes. Yeah. So let me go over a little bit more of Robin Redcap. Robin Redcap was a powerful creature granting his master varied powers. Teaching William the numerous dark arts, the goblin is also said to have granted his master immunity to most weapons and even magic rope, meaning that it took lead, like I said, to boiling alive. Even after Solis' death, Robin Redcap is said to haunt Hermitage Castle, and he may even be able to aid his master after death. And since Solis' ghost is said to return every 7 years, no doubt, as Robin Redcap's doing. So this thing supposedly lives still in a castle, and it summons its creature, it summons his master once every 7 years to do his bidding.
Yeah.
Strange stuff.
It is strange. Once every 7 years.
And they are, it's interesting when you look at the concept of like fairies, brownies, in this case we're talking about the, the Red Caps. It is very interesting how American folklore treats these things like, I'm going to use Tinkerbell as an example. It's very interesting that people use like the concept of American like iconology, like with Tinkerbell, and we make them out to be this, short, tiny creature that has magical abilities and, might be tempered, but, not necessarily vicious by any means. Usually they throw a tantrum and that's the end of it. That's, you know, what we get in American, you know, fairy tales when it involves fairies. But in reality, these things are just absolutely terrifying. You know, once upon a time ago, old fans of Bob After Dark know that every February I used to, or every March I used to do Phalor Month until I eventually ran out of ones that I could do an entire episode on. They're interesting. You know, you look at these things and they're legitimately the most terrifying types of creatures I could talk about on the show. You know, we discuss creatures like Mothman here in America, and Mothman's just, you know, this thing that, or, you know, kind of stalks and warns of impending doom, you know, and even as far as, like, I don't know, anything else we talk about here. But in the regards of these fairy creatures, you know, things like the red caps, I think, are a lot more terrifying. And, you know, I think it's a really interesting added touch of the almost vampiric nature of them by painting their hats red because constantly, because if it dries, they die. I have never heard of anything quite like that in any piece of lore I've ever read, which is quite a bit, in case you guys didn't guess. You know, most of the time when it comes to vampiric creatures, you think, oh, well, it could drink blood, you know, it might harvest on soul essence, whatever, and maybe it's not like, or it's just bad energy it'll feed off of.
You would think.
Yeah. Those are, you know, the typical vampiric things that we deal with. I've never heard of something vampiric to the point where it needs to paint its clothing in order to keep itself alive. I think that's very interesting. I also think it's a bit eerie to think about that they kind of take refuge in abandoned castles and you know, other structures.
We don't know why that is.
I could probably take a guess. We're going to assume that red caps are not a real creature, right? We're going to just assume that it's a story that, you know, people of that region told their kids. And, you know, a lot of times when we look at these creatures in folklore and in other types of, you know, stories, there's a reason why those stories are told. They are usually there to teach a lesson or teach a morality thing or whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. But in this case, with this particular, you know, instance, I wonder if people created the story of the red caps to try to keep kids out of abandoned castles. Now, I'm going to assume that there's not too many abandoned castles that were going on during that time. I'm assuming most were occupied, but maybe even more recent stories of them were told that to try to keep their kids out of wandering around abandoned castles. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with the abandoned castle situation, and also the painting itself is kind of strange in that odd sense as well. But at the end of the day, you kind of get it. It helps them kind of continue on at the end of the day, Bear Bob, if you ask me. But painting themselves, that was interesting. I wouldn't think that.
Do you think do you think there's any truth to the story, or do you think it's just a bunch of malarkey?
No, I don't think. Listen, unlike the fake Sasquatch that we think that's on the screen behind me here, there might be some truth to this. Now, is it 100% true? I wouldn't go that far, but there might be some basis of truth to this all. I have no theories to disprove it, so I got to remain a little bit on the fence with it.
Yes. So, I don't know. Would you like to ask me the same thing?
Yeah, what is it?
I don't think they're real.
Oh, okay.
No.
Not even just a little bit?
No, because it's not necessarily a Phalor creature. No. These things, you know, in the Fae, you know, they come from another dimension that's kind of their own thing, and we're going to assume that the red caps are not, you know, your typical Fae type creature in, you know, the Ireland area. Maybe these red caps are, and they're just another form of it, but man, that's just brutal and terrifying to think these tiny creatures come chasing after you with tiny scythes and pitchforks and stuff pikes to chop you down and come get you.
No, yeah.
Interesting stuff, Gound. And, you know, part of my job is to tell you guys how to defend yourself, and I'm going to tell you what not to do. Let's not wander into abandoned castles. I would suggest that. Let's start there. Don't wander into abandoned castles. I myself will wander into an abandoned castle anytime I please, but that's because don't do as I did you, just do as I say.
Yeah.
'Cause I'll tell you, that's That's a dangerous thing. Don't be wandering into castles, because not only will you might fall through the floor, but you could also get attacked by a red cap.
That's the ultimate slap in the face right there.
If, for whatever reason, you end up getting captured by a red cap out into the wild, maybe you're going to be lucky enough to give one a punt, give it a kick, step on it, I guess. But, maybe. You know, if they're chasing after you with them scythes, they can get your Achilles tendon.
That could be it.
And you'll just be on the ground.
Yeah.
This is why I suggest, a net gun.
A net gun, so just trap them.
Just trap them. That way there, then you could bring one here.
You don't see those too much anymore.
What, a net gun?
Yeah.
We won't talk about that. But I'm sure with the right people, we can
make
that
gun.
Okay, we know people.
That's a very cartoony weapon, I guess. Yeah,
but I'm going to hit you with a net gun.
It works. Right?
I want to shoot you with a net gun. I want to see what happens.
Really? I get caught in that. That's what would happen. It's like a Scooby-Doo thing, right? You would shoot with that gun and they take the mask off the guy. Meddling kids.
Yes.
That's how you get them. A net.
You're funny.
More often than not, it was a net.
All right, Count. So, hey, well, let's close out the show with some New Year's resolutions.
Oh, Bob, but New Year's resolutions.
Do you have a New Year's resolution?
You know, I don't really make too many resolutions. I think it's just to, be the best version of yourself you possibly can at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, I'm not one to believe in the concept of new year, new me. I would just like to, I don't know what my resolution is, man. It's to just be the better version of me.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
That's all you could ask for.
Every day is a new day, man. And that's just the way I'm going to take it day by day.
Day by day.
So, Count Panic, our first episode of 2024 is in the books.
Yeah.
Yes, and I guess we're booked as a guest for a show in June.
We are, and it happened live. It played out live on the air.
I guess if you're a con runner and you want to book us for a show, if you can't get a hold of me via email, which is...
Do it live.
You just do it live.
Do it live.
Absolutely.
What's the worst that can happen?
Yes. Do you have any closing words for our audience tonight, Count?
Well, everybody, once again, Happy New Year. As we set forth another year of Bob After Dark.
Yes. Folks, Happy New Year to all of you. And hopefully 2024 is the best year you can possibly have it be. I don't know how much more I could do.
That's pretty good.
Good night, everybody. And to my mom who's listening at home, I just want to wish you sweet dreams, Tiff, no matter where you are in the world. I hope you have the sweetest dreams in them all. And to Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable, and doing it is whatever it is that you want to be doing. Remember, folks, there are two important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.